Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Well, that was fancy.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on.
There we go.
Hello. The words were not coming out of your mouth.
Yeah.
This is no why kidding. I'm loud. I have to compensate.
Jesus Christ.
You have erect microphone dysfunction.
I do.
And, I think we've established a new record for this podcast going off the rails.
I'm sorry, Tony Khan. Somewhere, Tony Khan ears just popped up. You said rails, and he's like, "I'm on."
And he froze. That's a new record for freezing.
There we go. Awesome. Well, hey, thank you for hanging out with us tonight. Welcome to the Vegas Bad Boys podcast. And yeah, I am Sin City Steve, being joined by, as always, Rob Trump. And yes, I never get to introduce this guy because he's always the ringmaster. He's always the master of ceremonies, Matt Michaels, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
You're afraid to speak now. He's going to speak in one word sentences for the rest of the night.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, so there was wrestling this week.
Did
wrestling take place?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and at some point, if I leave the show, it's because this windstorm is so fucking ridiculous that the internet's gone. So
I was at Area 13 in Chinatown, Industry 13, at a comedy show. Big shout out to my guy Khalil Mack for Dicked Down Comedy, and the flagpole. There's a big American flagpole at the corner of Decatur and Spring Mountain, and that thing was. I was like, Jesus.
I'm sorry, you were freezing up. Did you just say Khalil has a big flagpole and you were wagging it back and forth? What the hell is going on, man?
Yeah. Your internet's just like you're hearing selective. Oh, you only heard the gay stuff.
That's because you only say gay things. It's kind of
easy. We have a show where we talk about men who wear thongs for their profession. So
absolutely. Oh, there is nothing straight about this show. Any shows that involve wrestlers. No. Speaking of not straight, Collision. All right. <let's...
laughs> Wow.
Jeez Louise.
Collision, Dynamite. Okay, let's start, Steve, with some of this AEW stuff.
All right, absolutely, man. You know, I right up there at the top of the graphic, your main event was Darby Allin defending the world championship against Konosuke Takeshita. Dude, there were a couple of spots in this match that were just absolutely insane. Darby Allin continues to just go out there, get the absolute shit kicked out of him, and not just on a weekly basis, but twice a week. He's been defending the championship on Collision as well. You know, we'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, crazy number of challenges that Darby's been dealing with. The bridging German suplex off the top. I've never seen that. And Takeshita pulled it off. Darby pulled it off. Excellent work without really hurting either one of them, thankfully. And also there was a Blue Thunderbomb from the ring apron to the floor.
An avalanche blew Thunderbomb.
Oh my God, dude. Insane. Darby continues to just be a crash test dummy, and it's great television at the end of the day.
Yeah. Dynamite Darby. Great. Can't wait until he's in a fucking wheelchair. Good for him.
Wow. You know, and elsewhere, I mean, you know, we did obviously have Will Ospreay versus Ace Austin. I think that, you know, this match, say whatever you will about Darby killing himself every week. You know, if that's not your cup of tea, awesome. Then you could obviously check out a match like Ospreay versus Ace Austin, which, yes, it wasn't your stereotypical Will Ospreay match, but I think that we're starting to see that Ospreay is going to have to adopt a different ring style or put a few new wrinkles into it, because he can't do a shooting star press. His neck, he literally cannot do a shooting star press. So that move is off the table. So he has to add other things and supplement his arsenal. So I think it is very smart what they're doing with this Death Rider storyline. Obviously, people are, you know, talking. It's very polarizing. You're either a fan of it or you absolutely hate it. And quite frankly, I understand both methodologies behind it. But this is a necessary thing in order to work in the change to Ospreay's moveset. And yeah, have him do a bit more submissions. Have him be a little bit more mat-based. It's done great things for Pac, who has continued to be able to do those high-flying moves, but they seem more special because he is more of a grounded athlete. So I think that, yeah, this can be nothing but good.
I also like it from the perspective of you're forcing him to get more cinematic time, so to speak. You know, Moxley and him are working really well on camera. The idea of watching them, the Death Riders, and how they do their scrums, so to speak, just freaking great storytelling. And it having it as a kayfabe that he's changing his style up so he can be more effective and more lethal versus I'm approaching this from I'm injured.
Right.
Because with Kenny Omega, it's more of I'm injured and I can't do what I used to do. So let's approach this from a different perspective and take the light off of the injury. Great, great angle.
Absolutely. And, you know, Ace Austin, he is severely underappreciated. I think we can all agree to that fact on this panel. But, you know, I do like the fact that Ospreay is going out there and spotlighting these talents. And say whatever you will about most of the match going to that other name. But in this instance, Ace Austin definitely proved some things to maybe some people who weren't familiar with him or weren't familiar with enough of his work.
He has good mic abilities. They have to have a vehicle for him to facilitate speaking.
Yeah.
He has no trouble doing mic work.
Absolutely not. And, you know, I hope that they give him more opportunities. But yeah, as of right now, he's a glorified jobber and that's his role in the grand scheme of things. But yeah, hopefully over time he can start to pick up some wins. They can start to trust him a bit more and, you know, spotlight him. So, dude, can we talk for just a second about Brian freaking Cage?
Welcome back.
Comes back after 14 months absence from the ring, looks absolutely fucking yoked, and has a great match with Kevin Knight. Great match. Single-handedly saved Kevin Knight's ass after a bit of a botch where Kevin Knight was going for a Hurricane Rana and fell off the top turnbuckle. Brian Cage picked the guy up by his feet. He literally picked him up by his feet and put him back into the powerbomb position, which then became the Hurricane Rana. Brian Cage is vastly underappreciated as well. And quite frankly, one of the best human beings in the professional wrestling business as well. So,
yeah. And Kevin Knight is one of the most overrated guys. And
wow.
So,
wow.
Jesus Christ.
No, no, no. He's not in the ring. He's not in the ring.
Damn, dude.
Jesus. You don't think Kevin Knight is where he needs to be based on his talent level?
Matt is still bitter that Kevin Knight chose AEW over WWE.
No, not at all. I could care less about the guy. He's got too many years to develop and, you know, do it over there. That's fine.
Yeah. So, Matt, I know that you love sports entertainment. We all know that. Did you at least appreciate the opening segment to Dynamite this week where MJF enters the building and he walks by literally every roster member of AEW that happens to be bald? I mean,
no,
that was great.
Yeah, MJF's one of the saving graces of, you know, knowing what to do, knowing what to say, being in a kayfabe type character, right, all the time.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. In fact, he just didn't he just say, I don't remember if it was in the promo or a tweet out, that if he has to shave his head, his wife's not going to ever like pro wrestling again. So, I mean, it's just, yeah, that's the kind of shit that's entertaining to me. It makes right. sense, you know. You know, yeah, Ace Austin and Will Ospreay can have a great match. They're gonna good, but you know, you just said it. Ace Austin is there to be an enhancement talent. You don't see a lot of personality. You don't see anything, you know, coming from him that he was doing in TNA in terms of developing the character. This is where they have the problem, is the characters get lost in a lot of the guys.
Yeah. They accurately brought him up in the best faction they could in the Bang Bang Gang, because that's the closest at the time that was available to the guns, you know, the Bullet Club. So he's there, and you've got other people who are talkers in that faction. He needs to be the leader of that group now. He needs to do it and be the mic of that group, or put him somewhere else. Or
he's not on that level, you know. Just, you know, but get more depth to the character. I mean, in TNA, for God's sake, he was, you know, he started off as a porn character essentially.
That's right.
Well, he was a magic porn guy. So, you know,
they've had different iterations, but putting him up with Chris Bay eventually and making them the, you know, TNA version of the Bullet Club was good. He's where he needs to be now. But if you're going to have Juice Robinson only show up once in a while, have him come out and be the mic for the Gun Club. Have him be the, you know, the talker for that group. I don't think they would go wrong if they went that road with him and say give him some opportunities. He's not asking for anything. He's not chasing a belt. He's not looking for tag gold. Have them say, all right, you know what? This guy deserves better. I've wrestled Will Ospreay. I've wrestled the best that AEW has, and I've held my own with them. I didn't get crushed. I didn't get squashed. So that's what you do with him.
There you go. Okay. Give us a little on this thing.
Yeah, on this thing. So again, Darby Allin goes out and damn near kills himself in a match with Sammy Guevara. And, you know, these guys went out there, did their damn thing, and had a very entertaining main event. Elsewhere, Mark Davis, dude. Mark Davis continues to just set himself apart, and he makes the best out of any situation that you put him in. Thankfully they have taken notice. They've put the national championship on him. Continue to push this guy, because no matter whether it's a singles match, whether he's working in a tag, or in this case in a trios match, yeah, make this guy look like a killer. And that is something that this roster has sorely lacked, was just a monster, just a gritty, you know, a big burly character. Because realistically, that's not the build that a lot of the wrestlers have for AEW. So Mark Davis has a build that sets him apart. Great. Let's embrace that. continue doing what you're doing with that guy. I did like the match between Willow and Red Velvet too. I think, you know, there were a couple of spots in there that, had some clunkiness, but all in all, I saw on social media where, you know, Red Velvet was actually getting a pretty favorable reaction from people. She does a lot of experimental things in the ring. I know Matt's not exactly the biggest fan of Willow, but, I think, but yeah,
look, he would be happy as hell if she would sit on his face.
Oh, of course.
Oh God, no, no, no.
Rob,
I would take Nyla Rose over that.
Well, with Nyla Rose, you get a little bit extra.
Yeah.
There you go. What's Rob? What's what were your main takeaways from AEW TV this week, brother?
The conglomeration, Shane Taylor promotions, a lot of interference with Shane Taylor, which didn't help out in the end. I'm liking the return of Mark Briscoe. He's injecting a lot of energy into the conglomeration. I mean, yeah, Kyle O'Reilly is great in the ring. He looks amazing, but Briscoe looks shredded out of his mind.
Yeah. He's in great shape right now,
bro. Oh my God.
Amazing.
You're not even saying, like, usually they say, oh, you're in great shape means, hey, you know, you got tone just so you can get squashed. No. This guy's at his peak, peak physical performance. Rascals did a great job.
Absolutely.
Red Velvet looked good. This was a proving match for her because she's been gone for so long on the main roster.
Right.
You know, my father was watching this one with me and he goes, she's back and she has a belt. When did she get a belt?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You don't know. And she did well. On the other hand, Lethal Twist.
Yep.
That was a squash match. Jay Lethal looked geriatric in the ring. He did very little wrestling. And Samoa Joe did not do that much wrestling as well. Anthony Bones on the other end was phenomenal in that match.
That's something that honestly I'm okay with because they allowed Bowens to showcase himself in a different light than what he has been. Now he is, you know, not out there solo or, you know, trying to ride the coattails of Billy Gunn or anything like that. Now he's in a different role with Samoa Joe. And I would like to see where this goes from here.
When he takes Jay Lethal and he's just body slamming him into the apron about 10 times where Samoa Joe said, stop and laughed. Yeah. I don't know if that was a shoot at all. I don't know. But Samoa Joe breaks character once and then. And then you begin to wonder, okay, maybe that was a shoot where he went, where he kind of blacked out for a second, but that was it. He carried that whole match.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at Lee Johnson. I'm thinking, him being with Jay Lethal is kind of like putting him in the back burner. He was a non-entity in that match. Both of those guys were.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, okay, not the best.
Well, that brings us to this.
Ah, yes.
Mm.
Okay.
The Owen Hart tournament.
Which I like this, by the way. This is great. This is a great addition to AEW.
Yeah, they just kind of stumbled into it.
Oh, Matt. It never change, bro. Never change.
Yeah.
So, Rob, who do you got in the men's bracket and who do you got in the women's bracket?
Who's going all the way?
Yep.
Will Ospreay is going to go all the way.
Who's he beating in the finals?
I could see him taking out Swerve Strickland. That would make the most sense because they're building up Swerve Strickland and he needs to be the biggest heel and Will Ospreay has to have the Cinderella story.
Yep.
On the women's side, it's going to be, now this is a tough one. On the left bracket, it's going to be Willow Nightingale, Persephone and Hazuki, whatever, this filler. Athena versus Willow Nightingale would be good. You could do Willow Nightingale and Sky Blue or Mina Shirakawa. If you find out Mina's a heel, that would be a super duper twist. that it was Mina that took out Toni Storm. So if you do Willow Nightingale and Mina Shirakawa, you could have a much bigger payoff with those two, because those are the most two. Those are the only two active on that main roster. Mina Shirakawa would be interesting, so I'm going to go with her.
Okay, all right. The thing that really stands out to me is most everybody enters this bracket scenario, you know, the exact same answers that you gave for the men's bracket. Everybody that I've talked to has said it's going to be Ospreay versus Swerve in the finals, which it makes sense, right? But then the women's bracket is just so wide open, because one name that stood out to me that was not in this bracket, in the women's bracket, there ain't no Mercedes Moné to be seen anywhere. There were some rumors that she might not be coming back for a few months, because maybe Mortos decided to grow his family tree, if you will. So with that being the case, give me Athena winning the Owen Hart tournament and going on to Wembley, and yes, let her win the women's championship at Wembley and bring her onto the main AEW roster.
Yeah, I just can't believe they have Saraya in this.
Now, you know,
so
the thing is, she evidently was done doing the time traveling or the transmutation gimmick that she had in NXT, left and went to Japan. And who knew? She just so happened to become one of the best women's wrestlers in all of Japan and arguably in the world. Sari is definitely doing her thing. But the finals are taking place at Forbidden Door, but I don't know if I could put her beating anyone else in the tournament other than Sky Blue. So I think she gets by Sky Blue in the opening round and then loses to Athena. So,
yeah. Well, everyone's going to be upset when it's Mark Davis versus Brody King in the finals of the men's tournament.
I won't be mad. I won't be mad. That is just two big dudes beating the shit out of each other.
Meat.
Yeah. Yay.
Wow. Just,
I don't know. Good for them. Good for them. Elsewhere, there's a little SmackDown that happened.
Absolutely.
I think one of the interesting things that Rob brought up before the show is you're starting to see all these new faces now.
Yeah.
Finally in the main roster, which that's exactly where they need to be. When you see Ricky Saints and Kamala Hayes, I mean, they had an amazing match.
Yeah.
For those two, it just kind of was a perfect alignment of two characters who are kind of the same in terms of the trajectory for both guys. So, and you had Saints lose and look shocked about it, but there was, you know, there was nothing dirty about it. So,
right.
This is good stuff.
And both of those guys, you know, both of those guys can definitely go in the ring. So I think that, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, WWE versus AEW in terms of, you know, match quality, yada, yada. Those two guys can freaking bring it. So, yes, Carmelo Hayes, I think, is somebody who is not appreciated as much as he should be as well. I threw out a couple of names when we were talking about AEW. But I think Carmelo Hayes, character-wise, I think that there needs to be some sort of a tweak that needs to happen. But outside of that, That guy can freaking go in the ring. You can put him in there with damn near anybody, and he can get a good match out of almost anybody. I'm not saying that he had to do that with Ricky Saints. Ricky Saints is also a great in-ring professional wrestler. But yeah, those two have great chemistry, and I would love to see more from them.
Ricky Saints has good has a good persona, though. He can create a character out of nothing. Yeah. Carmelo is, I'm the best. I'm the guy you don't think about being the best. One day I'll be the best. And it's like he's sliding backwards.
He needs, there needs to be some sort of a, you know, a talk track change with him. They need to figure something out with him. Give him a mouthpiece, something. I don't know what it would be. You know, do you put him back with Trick? You know, he realistically.
Need a mouthpiece. He looks like it's like in comedy where you have a joke and you need to just tweak it. He's just slightly off.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, but like, it's like when they had him up against Andrade El Idolo, that was flat for both of them. The wrestling was there, but there was
was great between them,
but they had no chemistry on the mic between each other. Now he's over at AEW. He's tapped into something now.
That's because of the fact that he worked against Carmelo Hayes. And if you go back and look at that, and what I was saying is that it brought out his personality and he brought out the wrestler in Carmelo Hayes. Those two benefited from working with each other.
They absolutely did.
And just like you're going to see that Royce is benefiting from working a guy like Gunther. Like, holy shit. He had one of his best matches because those two style-wise, it just matched up fine. And you're building a story with this guy, which something they talked about on LFG today. And Terry Taylor was a guest coach, and they're doing the show a little different this season. And what was fascinating is they sat down two of the guys, and neither of them had seen the Rock Hogan WrestleMania match, right? Wow. And what Terry Taylor had them focus on was the reactions of the guys. And he literally said, we're in the business of reactions. We're not in the business of wrestling. And that's the truth. That's what WWE is. You know, you can have big moments, you can have high spots, etc. But the truth of the matter is that the guys you get invested in are the guys who either have a persona like Trick, right? Where it's a larger than life persona. But when he's in the ring, you're seeing his reactions, right? The reason Cody is so good and so over is because when Cody sells, holy shit, you think that, you know, he gets a chop across his chest and you'd think it's the, you know, been shot by a gun. You know, that's the difference in the style of the two companies, right? AEW is very much into letting the guys do what they do to make matches good, right? Doesn't necessarily mean that everything is about, you know, the facials and the selling. WWE, it's all about that camera. And, you know, that's it. You got camera guys literally right there on the apron in your face with a camera. So, you know, you see a lot of that difference in that style. And
I don't think it's coming from the wrestlers, though. I think it's more like you're saying, it's coming from the production team and how they're utilizing them.
No, if you can't do that, so you're
Darby Allin sells every freaking bump and chop and everything better than 90% of the dudes on WWE.
And who
way better?
And again, who fucking cares about Darby Allin? Because Darby Allin doesn't have that persona that is marketable right now. Meaning that
to whom?
They don't put a belt on you by accident.
Genuinely.
To exactly what the WWE is, and that is advertisers, marketers, people that can use that in some other aspect.
Okay.
I've always said that. I've always been honest about that. It's again, it's not wrestling. What he does also, by the way, it's pretty easy to fucking react naturally when you are literally killing your body. That's not selling. That is actually, ouch, this fucking hurts.
Yeah.
The point of, if you go back and you watch Rock and Hogan, Rock hits Hogan with a clothesline and it knocks Hogan down, and Hogan does his throw off of his headband, of course, because it gives him a second to get the headband off. And then when he gets up, he looks at The Rock and he has this look on his face like, why did you do that to me, bro? That's the type of moments that they're trying to teach these people coming up, because that's the stuff. Listen, John Cena was never, never a technical wrestler standout, you know, oh my God, he's Will Ospreay, right? No, John knew what he was doing. His bread and butter was the fact that he could act.
Five moves of doom.
Yeah, exactly.
But realistically, look at what he parlayed those five moves into. Genuinely, that's, you know, that's why pro wrestling is so great, is because there are so many different flavors of ice cream. You know, there's one for everybody. Right. So yeah, absolutely, I totally feel that.
And speaking of flavors, there's a new flavor. NXT again. You're talking about the shows. As you're taking out people from NXT and moving them to the main roster, now you've got the opportunity for all these young kids. NXT is like, this whole week, it was just like a new person. It was crazy. And here's Mason Rook. Mason Rook, a year ago, was a fucking bodyguard on the show. This guy comes in and immediately attacks the champion. And is a fucking hoss, is a seasoned guy at whatever he is, 24, 26, something like that. The guy's fucking an internationally seasoned guy. The fans fucking eat this guy up.
Dude's got a chant. The NXT crowds, you know, have the he's big, he's bad, he'll body slam your dad. You know, they've got that shit down. So that's... Right. But that's pretty remarkable for him to have made such an impact in such a short amount of time.
Right. And again, it's a different flavor. You know, he's the flying tank. Like, you know, that's the whole thing. It's like, there's something there. And then speaking of something there, let's take a different flavor.
Naraku.
Yeah. You know, to give him his debut match, it was a good establishment of where they're going with him, and for him to look at the camera and actually say, you know, something to the extent of "I am evil."
Yeah.
So he's able to still use the basis of the character into what he's doing, even though it's a quote unquote new character. So, you know, this is the change you're seeing. And again, that's the thing. The thing is, yeah, people lost jobs. It sucks, but they've been doing this for 20 years or whatever the fuck it's been, you know, at least a decade over these huge chain, you know, firings.
I got no problem with new people coming up. They dumped a lot of main faces that you cared about this time around. In the past, it was people you were lukewarm on. Drake Maverick. Oh, it was sad. He cut a great promo on leaving. No, these are people that you were, and we'll butt heads on this, that people were, whether or not they were big on the last 2 years, were mainstays, that were household names. That was a tough pill for a lot of people because you took them for granted. You figured, oh, they'll have a new run any day now, and it didn't happen now. And So these people coming up, they're good. They're NXT good. Will they be made roster good in 2 years? I hope so.
Well, I mean, you know, again, you're seeing it. You're seeing the changing of the guard. And guys like Mason Rook and Obafemi are your Brock Lesnar's and your Dave Bautista's of this generation. You know, just huge guys who are going to get those pushes. Then you had something else, TNA. Mm-hmm. Look at this. I mean, this guy debuts and he comes out right at the end and is staring down Mike Santana. So it's like, here's a guy who got thrown away and all of a sudden it's, oh shit, he's going into TNA and they are already positioning him for a feud, which is interesting. So yeah,
absolutely. Good to see him land in TNA, man.
Yeah.
He's very talented. He's very talented.
TNA gives you that chance to develop your character and be the person that you might not have had a chance in WWE to be. And then you can come back to WWE with some arrows in your quiver and have a character to build off of.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing, or elsewhere or whatever, or even on the independents, whatever. I mean, that's the whole thing.
What do you consider TNA? Where do you place them now? Because it was funny that you said, or the independents. Where do you place TNA?
Well, the fact of the matter is that if you're in TNA, you can work independence. This is the same thing with AEW. You can work independence. But, you know, TNA has always been a national company.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, really, in all honesty, TNA is doing it right this time, where they're not bringing in Sting and Hogan and Nash and Booker.
They were trying to rebuild the WCW. That's what they were trying to do, is get that WCW crowd. It was a different mindset 15 years ago.
It wasn't trying to get the crowd. They were doing what you're supposed to try to do in business, and that is take guys who have reputable names and recognizable, and then try to get people to watch your product because you're putting them on TV. But politics came into play on that. You know, when you have Hogan and Bischoff running the company, essentially, when they come in, you're fucked. You know, when you have Russo writing for you, you're fucked. So, I mean, you know, to be fair,
Russo has been doing some good shit with JCW lately, but exactly. That's a completely different topic.
Right, and that's exactly where he should be, right? You know, it's perfect for him. All right, so speaking of WWE and AEW, Rob, go ahead and read that, if you would.
I saw a report today that somebody in WWE is telling people within WWE talking about AEW's next TV deal and talking about what we're doing, and I was surprised by that. And all I'll say is what they said could not be further from the truth. They're entitled to their opinions. I've been trying to be respectful to them and try to conduct myself as a gentleman. And then for them to go on background and spread these things, I'll just turn the other cheek. And maybe a couple of years ago, I wouldn't have done it like that. And that's Tony Khan via the ROH Supercard of Honor post-show media scrum.
Yeah, man.
So
I give him a high-pitched voice, but then when we play that clip at the end, he's kind of... you know, letting the balls drop.
He's
only one
over your time. Yeah, he's got it right here. I'm Tony Khan. So
Mike, he's got to do this every once in a while. In his mind, he has to do this so he can stir up some controversy and get people to pay attention, because he'll drop WWE's name and then he'll go, "Who was this guy?" It's not dumb. It seems petty and stupid, but it's not dumb from a social media standpoint or any type of media standpoint.
Well, the question is do you think it's smart to comment on something like this when it's coming from Meltzer?
I think so, only because it checks Meltzer. I think that So, you know, for the entirety of AEW's tenure, we've heard how, you know, Tony is in Meltzer's pocket and, you know, how Meltzer's paid by Tony Khan and all this kind of stuff. I liked that he checked this story because realistically, you know, he could have said very little about it, or you know how Tony can answer questions at these media scrums. But yeah, I think that it was smart of him to not just, you know, refute those points, but also mention that he's willing to turn the other cheek. It definitely shows a lot of maturity, to be honest, compared to how he probably would have handled this 5 years ago when AEW first started, even in the first couple of years of business. We all know about how hot-headed Tony was at that time. So it's showing personal growth. I was completely okay with how he answered that. And he said quite a bit of things in that media scrum as well, especially at the end, kind of discussing, you know, his principles and how he made some fundamental changes to his life. And that's kind of parlayed over into the wrestling business for him as well. So it's, yeah, props but to him for
I love for the low-key way of doing the exact same thing. It's just the way in which you do it. You called people out, but you did it respectfully. You did it, and you still got your name out there associated in responding to this story. So it was smart.
But that's what I'm saying, though. Was it a story? That's my problem. My problem is that he says here, I saw a report today that somebody in the WWE is telling people within WWE. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which that was how Meltzer had described how that situation was. So he didn't tie it back and say that he saw a report from Dave Meltzer. Obviously Dave.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is that's what I'm saying. The problem is to me is that I saw a report today. Okay. So we know it came from Meltzer. Okay. Number two, somebody in the WWE is telling people within the WWE. So that's the problem. How is that a story? Because if it's inter-office, right? This is like, you know, any corporation. No, Steve, you know, yeah, the big boys you work for. Yeah, you know, it's bullshit inner stuff if that's even true. It's easy for, you know, I mean, I could say right now, you know, well, my sources within the WWE, people that I know, said this certain thing about someone. And, you know, I mean, I've heard stuff recently about Triple H. If I say that as truth, then what am I doing? I'm starting rumors that are unfounded. And this guy says he's a journalist. So now you've got an owner of a company that is using that to say, look at how awesome I am because I'm turning the other cheek. And the honest answer is, if this is a question that came up, he should have just said something to the extent of, listen, and whatever happens over there, that's in their office. I don't know if we're on the radar or not. If we are, that's great that they're talking about us, but I'm not concerned about them. I'm concerned about us. That's what I still don't like about this guy, is that he's just bragging that, oh, well, I'm a bigger man now, even though I'm going to say the same stuff.
Dude, this is a simple concept. It's very Trumpian. You know, a lot of people are saying that they're having problems with WWE. And you know what? They're watching us and they're saying that our TV deal is going to be terrible. But, you know, I would have said something in the past and I would have thought about it. But now I think that I'm going to be the bigger man and turn the other cheek and not complain about the terrible job they have. And you're thinking now he's insulting them, but he's not. It's so fucking brilliant. Because if he's not bringing up this topic, who's paying attention to Meltzer? You just gave Meltzer a plug. You just gave WWE a plug. And you gave yourself a plug all at once. Hello. Good job. That is Media 101. He is Don King. He's doing his little Don King thing. He's spitting at you, but he's going, excuse me. Here's a glove. I'm not going to spit at you. I would have spit at you. Now I'm just going to hit you with my glove. And, you know, if you respond, you're going to look bad. Because I'm just a little company. Please respond, Paul, and make me look great. Please, Nikon, respond and make me look great. Ding, 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 ding. And who gets the back and forth? Buzz off at Meltzer. Because he's the one who... He's like when there's two kids fighting in high school and the one kid in the back pushes the one kid into the other. That's Meltzer. Brilliant. That's exactly what it is. It's two kids fighting in high school and then the Triple H character or the Nick Connor or TKO, Ari Emanuel, they go, look, kid, we're not going to fuck with you. And then what do? They push Tony Khan right into him and start the fight. Yeah. Why not? Why not? Because whatever WWE will say in response, if they choose to, the best thing for them to do is not even say a damn thing. But if they do respond, woo, you make an AEW look great. Doesn't matter how good or bad the response is. Doesn't have to be. Any response is a good response. You know what? They don't have the numbers we do. They don't have the bookings we do. They don't have the box office numbers they do. We don't have the ticket sales. Great. Say something about him. Make him look good. Make him look good. Say anything, even if it's right that they're not as big, and they're not. They don't have that same structure. They don't have the whatever. Say something. Make them look good. Give them 5 seconds of fame. Smart, Mr. Khan.
I just see a guy who really loves himself a lot.
Yeah. But that's how you succeed. And anything in entertainment, unfortunately, that is how you succeed. The guys who are just the most arrogant, egotistical pieces of shit, they float, the shit rises to the top. Even in my little tiny microcosm.
Unfortunately, though, it hasn't. That's
if you're problem. Him, if you're him, are you complaining about your pole position in life? No. Would you like to be bigger? Sure.
No, he doesn't care about that. He cares about being loved. Because you know that mustache daddy didn't fucking love him as a fucking kid. And, you know.
Now who's probably, being Dave Meltzer?
Oh, no. I know this for a fact. Oh, I know it's for the truth. I mean, the guy grew up in Chicago. So did I. So I know. Come on. Oh.
Well, you're outside their mansion watching the fights. Daddy, I want my own wrestling company.
What do you mean outside of the mansion?
Right.
Dude, Michaels is just a surname. It's just a stage name. I had to get rid of the con portion so that there would be no bias.
Oh, my God. No, it's well played. It's well played, and we'll see what happens of it.
All right. Speaking of entertainment, let's go to this. Kevin Nash urged WWE stars to unionize, join SAG-AFTRA following TKO pay cuts. You can't have it both ways. You can't play Endeavor at the top with the 300% increases and the 1099, the dock workers. If they're going to play by those rules, let the boys play by the same rules, go through Screen Actors Guild. They'll be more happy to take their cut of your money. It won't be 50%, but it will change the ball game. Yeah. Take one of the programs that's written down and tell me that the program isn't more heavily written and more produced than Curb Your Enthusiasm was when all the actors got SAG paid. It's totally true.
Yeah,
it's totally true. It's something that has been, you know, said for years. However, there's a big problem, and that is pro wrestling itself. You can't just unionize WWE because then everyone, if you're on AEW, TNA, MLW, NWA, even mind you, possibly New Japan or any of the Mexican outlets, now you're talking that these guys have to be unionized. And let's say CMLL and let's say New Japan, they don't unionize. Well, now someone who goes to wrestle for them has to be non-union.
Right.
You can't do independence anymore.
Yep.
If you're unioned.
Exactly.
You know,
is there a middle ground? What would Kevin Nash's dream scenario be with given that?
Well, I mean, Kevin's in the Screen Actors Guild. He knows what the protections are. He knows the idea behind it. But the problem is to actually get unionized, you have to have someone has to basically stand up and invite you into the union. So you would have to be supported not only by Screen Actors Guild, but I think it has to be like one or two other unions to then get the representation you need. It's more complex than you guys should just join the union, because right now
I have a question though. Or is WWE still taking a cut of anyone's social media? Because that was the big deal a few years ago with anyone who had a strong social media presence and were making money outside of the ring, WWE wanted a percentage. Is that still a thing?
I don't know. I don't know, because that has not come up since that was a Vince thing.
Yeah, that was a Vince thing. Yeah, that didn't okay. That hasn't happened since TKO's been in the picture. Yeah.
All right. There.
And the other thing too, and what Nash is getting at here, is the fact that guys like Ari Emanuel, they're agents to guys who are all SAG actors. The problem with wrestling and the reason it's not unionized is because it falls under sports. Very simple. And so now you have a secondary weird line, and that is, well, if wrestling gets approved for SAG, then technically does the NBA or do the baseball player? I mean, because these guys are on TV constantly. It's the only profession in which it's a fucking head scratcher, because these guys are literally actors who are playing professional athletes, but not getting represented as if they are portraying these because they are athletes.
This is crazy. A similar vein, but years earlier when 2K Games was doing college football and college basketball, they were using the likeness of those players and not paying them. And that was a similar vein. These guys are getting paid, but then what happens if you get injured? There's so many variables there. And
well, you just said injury. An injury could be a variable, but you're protected. You know, there would be a protection on that somehow. More so, basically, they couldn't fire you for being injured is what the protection would be. But more so, the problem is this. These guys are signing long-term deals. Mm-hmm. If you're being represented by the union, everything is yearly. You know, so for instance, when Seinfeld, when their contracts went up, or Friends was a great example where the whole cast came together and said, we'll do another season, but we're going to do it for $1 million apiece. That's the thing. The thing is you have a whole roster that goes from the top to bottom in all organizations, not just WWE, in which then you would have to be consistently renegotiating contracts. And in the long term, even though there's no protection for you getting fired, At the same time, the Screen Actors Guild cannot necessarily protect you from being fired, because we've seen actors who've taken jobs. Eric Stoltz, Back to the Future.
Yeah.
He lost that job, but, you know, SAG didn't come running in saying you can't replace him. You can't get rid of his contract.
Yeah, he was, I think he only did like 3 weeks of shooting and was bounced.
Yeah. That's a wild set of circumstances.
Right. And so realistically that becomes that becomes an issue, because, you know, you have these guys signing these long-term deals. Well, you know, again, if you ask me, asking the New Day to take a pay cut, it's like sports contracts, right? These guys are old now. They're not selling the same type of merch. One of their biggest assets has been hurt for like 3-4 years and is never going to wrestle again, it looks like.
Right.
So essentially, you're not cutting these guys, you know, because of the fact that it's...
What is this?
Watching Rob attempting to hold two competing thoughts in his hive mind at the same time is cracking me up. American Bam Bam not attacking me. I love it.
And it's a first.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell I did.
But, you know, again, it's been an interesting thought since Jesse Ventura brought it up back, you know, 40 years ago. And, you know, protections on the wrestlers should be better. But at the same time, you know, this is a new thing where you're dealing with an entertainment company purely. Let's even say that if the wrestlers unionize, well, then what happens to TKO's other asset, which are professional fighters? And like I said last week, you know, the reason that it's really hard for a UFC fighter to cross over is because now is UFC fixed. So, you know,
well,
good questions all around on that concept. Hmm. And speaking of UFC and shit being fixed.
Oh, Lord.
What the fuck was this?
17 seconds, bro.
Jesus, just one arm bar. That was it.
Yeah.
An arm bar. You don't know how to get out of an arm bar?
Well.
That's wild, though. The amount of money. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen anywhere from like $2.2 million that she got to, you know, whatever that, you know, what did it say, $5 to $8 million.
Can we just skip to the fast forward to the part where they end up as a tag team on AEW?
Well, surprise me.
Hollywood Rejects, that's their tag name.
The big thing here, you know, not the most reputable production company.
Yeah.
To say the least. Mm-hmm. Number two, Jesselyn here in town, she was, she just revealed, now that she can speak about it, that she was the sparring partner for Ronda in Vegas. They did, I think, two or three days. Basically, she said that she knew that if she caught Gina, it was over, because Ronda wasn't fucking around in practice. That's the thing. Ronda still takes herself seriously, and I'm sure Gina decided, hey, I'll fucking take that payday.
Oh, yeah.
Gladly.
I don't know, sell it a little bit, shit.
Well, see, and again, that becomes the question. The question is, you know, do you put the aspects of entertainment in it and sell stuff, Or if you are someone who has the ego that Ronda has and has a bad taste in her mouth from wrestling, you got to kind of show that you're still a bad bitch, right? And if she would have let Gina have anything, then there would have been questions and doubt about, you know, oh my God, is Ronda Rousey still have it? Now there's no question other than was it fixed to where Gina was like, take my arm.
17 seconds. If you're talking about like the bulk of a first round, okay.
Yeah.
17 seconds is Tyson versus McNeely.
And that was an immediate tap too. Like that was
right.
She didn't even.
And the question again. The question is now knowing someone who sparred with Ronda. And Jesselyn is not, she is not someone who, she's had many fights under her belt, and has trained in all different aspects and wrestled and everything. So the thing is that if she's saying, like when Ronda was turning it on, it was, it was like, oh fuck. Then it kind of makes sense that she caught that arm as soon as she turned it on. Gina said, fuck this. I've made my money. Done. Yeah. Done. And then Gina, now if she was smart, had someone place a bet that she would tap in under 30 seconds. If that was a sports
over line. On like Polymarket or Kalshi. Yeah.
Right. So, cause there's all that shit around now. So, I mean, this is where the blinds get blurred. Is shit fixed? And if it's not,
but what bothers me when people complain about is wrestling real. And then you have the boxing, anything fighting involved, which has been fixed for years.
Oh yeah.
And years and years. And everyone goes, well, that's real. Really? When you see the matches that are set up over the years, really? Can we be adults about this? Anything pro fighting has always been set up to make the cash by pairing up two people, either one who's going to beat the shit out of the other, or two people that are going to really sell. 17 seconds on two brand names? That's my only problem. You could have milked it for at least a couple of rounds.
Yeah, and we saw what happened when they milked it with Tyson and Jake Paul.
Jake Paul, yeah.
And that was fucking horrible. So,
that's the opposite end. It went too damn long.
Right. So at some point, Jake Paul will figure out how to rig this shit and do it precisely the right amount of time. And, they'll be able to continue to make this money off of their stuff. All right.
Or they could just go back to trading Pokemon cards at a high value. And
there you go.
Wrong Paul.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that was Rand Paul.
This crowd probably does not know who he is. And I'm pretty sure he doesn't know what Pokemon is, Mr. Paul. See, but with his Jerry curl, he does know what all night hold is on his spray can. On the spray can.
There you go. All right. There we go, Steve.
All right. So, yeah, I'll tell you. So, obviously, we established in the AEW segment that Darby is going to kill himself every single week. And this week is going to be no different, as he's going up against Speedball Mike Bailey on Wednesday. And, I can safely say it. He's going to get his ass beat for about 15 minutes of the match. And then he's going to find some way to slide out of the way when Speedball maybe goes for the Ultimo Weapon or something like that. And yeah, a couple of coffin drops later, Darby wins again. The thing that is pretty telling is the fact that we're coming up on a pay-per-view and we're still a little ways out. It's on the 24th, but we have, you know, a pretty sizable amount of matches for that card already. So usually AEW falls into this trap where, you know, they kind of play around for a couple of weeks, and then the week before the pay-per-view, they, you know, they load up that card with 12 matches. But they've done a pretty solid job building to Double or Nothing. And I got to say it, man. Darby is dropping that title at Double or Nothing. That match needs to be 5 minutes or less. That match needs to be 5 minutes or less against MJF.
Interesting. Interesting.
With MJF getting the win and getting his title. Yeah. He ain't going bald.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. I personally think he would look stunning bald.
So realistically, you build the stipulation now, and maybe, you know, a few years down the road, sure. After you dangle that carrot a couple of times and he always finds a way to win, but then give it maybe 10 years from now, then you have him get shaven bald. And once again,
Steve, you're taking it too literal. You missed the obvious on why I think that he would look good bald. Yeah. I think Rob would agree that MJF would look perfectly, wonderfully bald. And I think a third person on this show would look amazing if they were totally, not just shaved down, but totally big, clean, bald.
Been there, brother. Been there.
Yeah, the opening title.
Yeah, man. Just in the not so distant past.
I don't know. I don't know about not so distant. It feels like that was about 32 years ago that we did that.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, look at Sin City Steve's little profile pic there. You are cue ball in that picture.
Yeah.
What's up, bro? Yes. All as well. You've got nothing there. You are.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Big status.
Did you say he had nut hair there?
Next. Moving on.
Yeah. What does the president have to say?
Chloe, great eggs from the Oval Office, the greatest office, the biggest office, an office like never before seen after I rebuilt it from the ground up following a tremendous... Where does he go? Why did he leave? You know what? Oh, there he is. There he is. You know, how come I can come on time, but you can't? Okay. You know, I'm doing you guys a favor right now. You should be thanking me that anybody besides American Bam Bam, I think that's my wife calls me that. She calls me American Bam Bam. It's so sweet. Every Friday night, okay? Court-approved sex. The court tells her she has to let me give her the American Bam Bam or she goes back to Estonia. It's true. Believe me. But we're watching the WWE 2026, or I affectionately like to call it AEW 2022, because half the roster is, we got Ricky Starks, we've got Powerhouse Hobbs, we've got, oh, look at that, All Ego, Ethan Page, where have I heard that name before? Wow. And then we've got Blake Monroe. No, Marilyn, your name is Mariah May. I don't like Blake Monroe. Why are we taking a hot chick and giving her a dude's name? Excuse me. Why would we do that? And I know Matt Michaels knows the answer because her dad's first name was Blake or some fucking shit that nobody cares about. And Royce Keyes is named after his little cousin who got shot in a drive-by. Nobody gives a fuck. They come up with these names. They're terrible names, by the way. WWE is the worst fucking names ever. These names are terrible names. The awful names are the worst names. And then they're going to be washed out and they're going to be on TNA 2 years from now. And they're going to go, oh, I'm on TNA now and I'm going to use my AEW name. But WWE, my slave master, they told me I had to call myself Toby Keys. What's your name now, Powerhouse Hobbs? No, your name is Toby. And then he does it and he's going to have three matches with Gunther and then you're never going to see him again. Oh, but he has all the potential and he's big and he's good wrestling and he's got a compelling story. Oh, such a compelling story. They spend a month doing pre-interviews with him. And they're going to be doing another month of exit interviews with him when he's trying to get his way back into TNA or AEW. Believe it. Believe it. He's going to be at Sam's Town before you can say unemployment.
I don't know why he'd be at Sam's Town, but
that's what they were
dealing blackjack.
He's going to be wrestling for GCMZWXYZ Wrestling, run by Karen Creep, or Juggalo Clown Wrestling, because that's what happens when you get on My Family Tree. They turn you into a juggalo for some reason. It's really, oh, look at that. You're a juggalo now, but Solo doesn't have to be a juggalo, but the rest of you have to be juggalos. And then they took the Gorillas of Destiny. They split them in half. They don't know what the fuck they're doing over there. All they're doing, by the way, again, 2022 AEW. We took Little Tony Storm. Oh, excuse me. Tony, not Storm. The Storm. She's the, what is the one? Oh, yeah. A storm. A bitch is coming. A storm is coming. Yeah. Jade Cargill. And we gave her backup dancers. Oh, you've got backup dancers. No, you're a backup dancer. You're a backup dancer. Anyone in the WWE women's roster is a backup dancer. They're all backup dancers. And then once in a while, Charlotte Flair comes and takes their belt. Let's be real. Can we be real? It's Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley versus a bunch of backup dancers. And then Io Sky flops around a little bit. And the rest pick up a check to have their titties out. If they even have titties, because some of them have no titties. Okay, very sad. Very sad that the new ones that you creamed about, Michaels, no titties. Stephanie Vicaire, almost no titties. Okay, almost no titty, no belt at her anymore. Oh, what was the other one from Italy and Japan? No titties. She's got little titties, okay? Little titties, no titles, okay? That's what the women's roster is now. Little titties, no titles. Think about it. It's true. It's very true. And then Cody Rhodes and Gunther. What is Gunther doing? He's killed all the legends. Yeah. How to kill your career. Go fight up all the geriatric wrestlers from the Attitude Era that mattered. And then have nothing left to do except to have an eventual L to the not so nightmare. He was supposed to be a nightmare. What happened? Now he's his dad, and Cody is the only nightmare is Cody's handling of the word S. So sad, so very, very sad what they've let happen to this great company. And then it's going to be sold to the Saudis. And those women, if they had titties, they won't anymore because they're going to be in burkas by the end of the year. Believe it. Believe it. Full burka.
That's it. That's it.
He was on one tonight.
Yeah. We got to draw a line at the burkas.
Burkas and titties, you know.
Yeah. Which I believe burkas and titties is a new tag team in NXT. So.
Oh, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Hank and Tank and versus burkas and titties.
Run by Robert Stone. That'll be the manager.
Perfect.
Well, he runs the whole fucking show right
yeah.
now.
Robbie E.
That's why it works.
Yep.
Yeah, honestly, it's great. Speaking of working, look at these two, EO and Evil, having their marriage. And of course, Rhea Ripley not wanting to see them get married because she wants her EO back.
Was that the real picture? of them, their real wedding picture?
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at that shit, man.
Yeah, man. Evil's looking majestic as fuck with that hair, dude.
He also looks a lot slimmer, and yeah. I love that tux or that suit. That shit is fly as fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, they're both looking great. So,
yeah.
Hell yeah. Congratulations to them.
Speaking of looking
great. Why wasn't she dressed up like a geisha?
There we got Jim Cornette and B. Arthur. pretty amazing to see.
Why is Cornette's shirt looking at where his titties would be?
That's a Cornette face, bro.
I know, yeah. But the eyes are right at the nips.
Yeah, he's looking at B. Arthur's where her boobs should be.
He wants Jay's Russo's.
Oh, jeez.
Comic.
Is that what you are?
You've heard of Elf on a Shelf. We'll get ready for. Come on.
I was going to say the spinaroonie on macaroni. Hold on. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
He doesn't do the spinaroonie. So
no. I know he doesn't. That's why I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Come on, Rob.
God damn it. Hold on. Hold on. If you smell what the rock is cooking. Mac, jabroni on macaroni.
There we go.
All right. It took me a second. Yeah,
it did. And finally.
Oh, God.
Oh.
That's right. When you put the title around your penis, and then Jacob Fatu just has to lick the fucking belt.
Of course.
And now he's got whatever Fragile Phil had.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. AJ's pussy on his fucking lips.
Well, there you go.
That would have been the upper belt to lick.
I don't know. Yeah.
All I know is after that, she's going to need a lot more therapy.
Speaking of therapy, Rob, where are you at?
Yeah, no shit.
The 22nd, which is going to be a Friday, 7 o'clock, Cork and Thorn, 6-8 production. Tomorrow is going to be a birthday for Mistress K. I'm going to show up in full costume, so you'll get to meet your president, 610 East Naples. That show's going to be at 8 o'clock. On the 25th, I was supposed to be hosting. That would have been not tomorrow, but the following Monday. At Quads for their Monday night open mic. I don't know if that's going to be moved to a different location. Stay tuned for that one. And the gears are turning. Yeah, that's all I have in the immediate. Those two shows. Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Steve, take us home, please.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 10%.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah. With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mics glowing in the desert nights. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by your side. All right. Rob Butcher, Larry, dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys, tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.